You believe it's a powerful name today?
Yes.
Do you believe that there's a powerful name that you could go to today? I want to spend a couple minutes here this morning, and I want us to think about the biggest mountain that you have in your life today. I don't care what the mountain, just stop and think about it. And then I want you to speak the most powerful name in the history of the universe right at it. Church, let's just start praising and worshiping together and speak the most powerful name that we know. There is no name above his name. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I watched that powerful name walk in the door today, and you know who you are. I heard the testimonies of the power of the living God speaking life to heal people's physical bodies. There's power. There's power in his name. Many of you know that when I'm over here worshiping, I'm praying and saying, Lord, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to tell Cross Point Church, the ones that are in the house, the ones that are watching online? So many people, Lord, what do you want me to say? And he never fails to tell me, ever. And here's what he says today. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. It's okay. Are you ready? Church, are you ready? I don't know. I just feel different today. I just feel there's a different power here today. I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but I just feel that God is just like we're on the brink of something big. And God just says, are you ready? Get ready, church. Somebody start shouting today because he's, get ready. Get ready. I just kind of want to know, has anybody been touched by a miracle in their life? If that's you, just raise your hand. Church, look around. Get ready, church, look around. Virtually every hand is up in the building. I don't know what's going on online, but are you ready? God's got something in store for you. Are you ready? Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord God, I'm ready. Lord God, I'm ready. Father, for whatever you have, Lord God, we're ready. Pour it out, Lord God. Holy Spirit power, come. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, we pray today. Lord God, every single day, you know this church prays for people to be touched and healed and transformed. Today's no different. Lord God, I pray right now that you pour out your power, that you have just started to touch us, and Lord God, we are here to receive it. Father God, for the person online this morning that needs that touch in their back of their hip, Lord God, in Jesus' name. They know who they are. Lord God, touch them today. For the one that needs a miracle in their intestinal tract, Lord God, touch them today. Father God, I believe. Lord God, we are your people. You are our God. Touch us. Pour out your power upon us. In Jesus' name, I pray. Cross Point Church, say amen together. Amen. Give them praise today, church. Hallelujah. Look at somebody who says, I am ready. I am ready. Get ready. I think when people start saying, I'm going to live by conviction and leave convenience and do all those things that we're talking about, I think that just really gets God saying, okay, they're getting ready. We decide we're going to live away from those conveniences of our lives and just go all in for God. I think he says they're getting ready. What do you think? I think so. We're in a series called Chasing Convenience, and I'm teaching on why we don't want to do that, why we don't want to chase conveniences. Now, again, it's not a bad thing to have conveniences of life. Don't get me wrong. You're allowed to have nice things. But when those nice things become your things that you take ownership of and they become more important than God, you're chasing convenience. And it just seems like God's going to kind of rattle you a little bit to get you back on track, because it's not about chasing the things of life or the conveniences of life. It's all about chasing heaven. It really is. And we're in that series today. And thank you so much, church, for joining us today. Wow, the house is filling up. The people online are just filling up. We are so appreciative of that. thank you so much. If you're here today, I just so appreciate you coming. And my wife and I talk about this all the time. It is such an honor to pastor a church where people fill up the house and say, I want to go after heaven. I'm going after heaven today, right? Same with the people online, same with the people that listen to our podcast. Sound Booth, don't forget to record our service today because we have people listening to the podcast every week, and we want to make sure that they have the availability to do that. I am so excited. In less than a month, 6 weeks, we're going to celebrate Easter. Now, Easter is always a great time, but we're going to come in on Easter Sunday, March 31st, and I'm going to bring my best. I am going to bring my best offering that day because God's got something special for us, and we're going to seed it into a ministry, whether it's here at this church or it's somewhere out in our community that needs somebody to show up alongside them to seed an offering into their lives, whether it's a church, a school, or whatever it may be. And church, you have the opportunity to decide where your seed offering goes. And I would challenge you to scan the QR code, like Pastor Mike said this morning, and please tell us what we should do. We want to hear from Cross Point Church people to tell us, what are we going to do with the seed offering? God's kind of laid on my heart what we're going to experience on that day, and I'm just trusting that the people of Cross Point will respond and tell us where we're going to seed that offering into. Somebody told me here a few days ago that they're starting to transform their life away from the things of convenience to the things of God, and they're really feeling this conviction that I'm preaching on. And I said, well, that's great, brother. I said, I appreciate that. I said, but this is something we got to do just as a lifestyle and just do every day, right? We don't want to chase after conveniences. We want to certainly chase after heaven because, church, when you start chasing after God, nothing else is going to matter. Nothing else is going to matter. So let's do a quick review. We're in week 3 of the Chasing Convenience series. Week 1, we talked about what is it? What's chasing convenience? Well, what's the word chasing? It's to track somebody down, to track something down, to run after something, go after something, right? Well, you know all about that. If you're chasing after something, whether it's whatever, it's a job or something in your life, you're going after something, right? The convenience part is something that just is something easy, comfortable, favorable. I just want something to be more favorable. Always talking about a situation. It's always talking about chasing down a more pleasant, easier situation. But God doesn't look at it like that so much. He doesn't look at the situation as much as he looks at the person first. He looks at the person first. In fact, the scripture talks about convenience in a different way. It talks about an opportunity for you. It talks about an opportunity that God's going to use you for. I wonder what that is, right? You wonder what that is. We look at situations. God looks at people. We use the scripture in 1 Kings 12, 25 through 33, talking about the 10 tribes of Israel. You know that there was 12 tribes that made up the kingdom. They were split into 10 on the north side and 2 on the south side. We used that scripture about how they started to build some altars at 2 cities, Bethel and Dan. And why did they do that? King Jeroboam was a little concerned. He thought, okay, now these people that I've got under my new kingdom here, they may want to go on this pilgrimage down to Jerusalem on the south side, on the south part of the kingdom now that's split, right? And they may want to go back down there and worship. I don't want them to do that. So I'm going to make it more convenient for them to go to church. Wouldn't you like somebody to make it more convenient to go to church? Well, we did that. That's why it's called online church, right? If you can't get into the house, you could go and log on and watch church today. And we think that's a more convenient, but that's a good convenience, and that's okay. But he thought, well, let's do it. So what he tried to do is he tried to replicate everything that they had in the past, put it in these 2 cities. It says, let's have the festival and the worship at these 2 cities. But instead of worshiping God, he decides they're going to worship these idols. Right? He's going to make things more convenient. And there's a few points I talked about on Sunday number 1 here a couple weeks ago that he tried to do. And he tried to make convenience deceptive. You know, convenience can be really deceptive. It can look like something that it's not. So he tried to make worship look like true worship to them, but it really wasn't. He's just going to make it more convenient. He tried to make it more alluring, more attractive. it's only a mile down the street instead of 80 miles or whatever the case may be, depending on where they were traveling from, right? He tried to make it more attractive. Let's just make it more attractive. He tried to make it, you know, anything he could do to make it attractive that they would show up. He tried to make it more alluring, pleasing. So he replicated everything that they had before, from food, festival, party, let's get together and worship, and he tried to replicate that all in a new location. But convenience can be really dangerous. The scripture teaches us, it says, and this thing became sin. What thing? Convenience. Convenience became a sin. Why? They chased the convenience of it. They started to chase convenience, which was what we're talking about, right? We're chasing convenience. Last week, we talked about conviction over convenience. What's a conviction? It's a firm belief. Anybody have some convictions? I have convictions of these things. I am just really committed to these things. I have this conviction. I can't stop. It's a firm belief. It's entrenched inside of me. We talked about that last week, right? We talked about that firm belief will drive your behavior. It will drive who you are as a person. We want to live by conviction, but you know, it's a whole lot easier to live by convenience. It's a lot easier to live by convenience, right? We talked about some differences in convenience and conviction last week. Let me read you a couple of those. Convenience is really comfortable. Ever hear the saying, the conveniences of life? Really comfortable. But conviction is challenging. We'll be talking about challenging yourself next week. Convenience enables your desires, but conviction enables God in your life. Convenience gives you what you want, but that conviction shapes your behavior and allows God to work through you. Convenience says, I'm a Christian. Conviction says, I'm like Christ. What a difference, right? Convenience pleases people. Conviction pleases God. And the early Christians, they got a hold of that. They lived this way, and it became somewhat of a convenience for them. You know, convenience is repetitive sometimes. It just becomes part of the everyday thing, right? And this guy, Jesus, shows up on the scene and shakes everybody up. And there's a new way of living. And the early Christians started to see that. And it wasn't so convenient anymore because the persecution started to show up. But the conviction in their life says, no, we know this is the right way. No matter what, I am going to stay here. I'm going to stay on this new path following Jesus. The conviction in their heart took them down the road of following Jesus. And true Christians were led by conviction. I talked to you a little bit about the story of Pharaoh and Moses and some of the scriptures wrapped around when Moses was called to go back to Egypt to deliver God's people. He was living conveniently out miles and miles away, and God called him. Ever live miles and miles away, and God says, nope, you're going back here, right? I remember when Nicole and I moved out to this area, and we had not started pastoring over here yet. We were just trusting God, and as soon as we were unpacking boxes, a church called back home, which is an hour or so, it was about an hour and a half now, the other way, back home, and said, hey, would you come interview here? We would like to talk to you. I mean, that's kind of crazy, right? We just closed on the house, I think, and we had a church up in Minneapolis talking to us. We had a church back home talking to us, and we're like, uh-oh. It would have been really convenient just to tell them no. Right? To say, no, we're not going to do that. God's got us here, and I feel super spiritual, and we're going to stay here. But we didn't. We started interviewing because we wanted to make sure that we were doing exactly what God wanted us to do, right? And Moses goes back to Egypt. And there are some things that the scripture talks about, and we talked about them in detail last week. And those things were the deal that Pharaoh started to make with Moses. Now, some of the movie you see on the Ten Commandments has got some good stuff in it and some of it not so good, right? Many of us have seen that movie. But there's some dialogue going on between Moses and Pharaoh. But Pharaoh wanted to make it more convenient for Moses and the Israelites, so they didn't really leave altogether. And we talked about the conveniences that they started to talk about. He said, listen, you can sacrifice to your God, but you got to stay here. You got to stay in Egypt, but I'll let you sacrifice. I'm going to give you a convenience of sacrificing, right? So they, you know, they start to think, do they? They say, well, you know, maybe we can, you know. Does that happen in your life? Things start to get a little bit better in the situation, but it's, yeah, I'm not so sure. He also said, hey, listen, you could go, but I'm not going to let you go too far. The scripture talked about that. Then he had another conversation that says, listen, the men can go, but the women and the children, they got to stay here. It's a good thing the men didn't take him up on that, right? Ladies, right? Right? Good thing, right? Then the last one they talked about for convenience, I'll make it more convenient. You all can go, but all your flocks and herds, and they got to stay here. But I'll let you go. You won't be able to eat. You won't have anything, but you'll be able to go. He was trying to make it as convenient as he possibly could for them. See, the early Christians felt conviction is really convenience when compromise is involved. Conviction is really just convenience when you throw in some compromising things. And they said, no, we got to get out of here. We're leaving, right? Early Christians felt that. I believe Christians today still feel that, right? I still believe that we feel that power in us to convict us. But the question I asked you was, are we true Christians? Or are we just fans of Christ? Are we true Christians? Or are we just fans of Christ? I saw many people posting that on Facebook pages and whatnot this past week. It was crazy. Followers are led by convictions rooted in their faith in God's word. Fans are led by convenience rooted in compromise. When it's convenient, they follow Christ. But the moment it begins to cost them something, they're out. They're out. The moment it starts to cost us something, I'm out. What are we saying? What we're saying all in that is when there's a commitment needed, I'm out. Is really what we're saying. I'll do everything as long as it's convenient for me. But as soon as God says there's a commitment here, then we say, I'm out of here. And that's what we're going to talk about today, church. We're talking about the commitment over the convenience. Lots of teaching going on today. So sit with me and let's dive in. We're going to go a little bit further than we've been going. And so if you're in need of some sermon notes, you can just scan that QR code on your bulletin today or after you leave, and you'll get a lot more detail than I'll give you today. And you can check out my notes online, but you're going to probably need them, because we're going to get quite deep today. Are you a disciple of Christ, or are you just a follower? Are you a disciple of Christ, or are you just a follower? Now, I just taught on last week being a follower and the conviction and all that, but now I'm saying, are you a disciple, or are you just a follower? Now, I'm not here saying that the word follower is to be minimized, but hold on and buckle your seatbelt, because we're going to start diving in to some things here, because we use these words really interchangeably. We say, I'm a follower, I'm also a disciple, I'm a disciple, I'm also a follower. And for the most part, a lot of that is true. For the most part, a lot of that's true. But there are some subtle differences that I'm not sure we pick up sometimes, because all disciples of Christ are followers. All disciples of Christ are followers, but not all followers are disciples. Jesus had many followers, but only a few of them he called disciples. He had many followers, but only a few of them he called disciples. And you're going to ask, what's the difference? What could possibly be? Here's some differences here. A disciple is a follower of Jesus who commits to learn how to be more like him. Wow, I got to commit to something. Yikes, right? I'm going to commit to learn more about him, right? So the word follower is you're committing to the teachings of the teacher. Right? Stop there. I'm following. You're committing yourself to follow the teachings. But disciple means you're going to commit to learn about the teacher. Because the word disciple is translated in God's word as learn, or the learner, or I am learning. I'm going to learn about Jesus. I'm not just going to follow what he says as a follower, but I'm going to be a disciple. Not only do I want to follow him, I want to learn about him. A disciple. So a disciple is committed to learning how to be like the teacher. Okay? Not only what he says, not only what he does, but who he is. Right? Diving into some scripture, Matthew 28, 19 reads like this: therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Go and make disciples. The commission was go and make disciples. So Jesus is saying, go make me disciples. It doesn't say go make me followers. It says go make me disciples. Why? I want these people to know who I am. Not just to follow what I say, but they've got to know me. So let's go make me some disciples. And you get this word in there, some of the versions, translations, is make or create, commit to follow, learn about being like Jesus. John 8:31 says it's like this: you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful. You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful. Hold on, church. I'll do the best I can on this. Remain faithful to my teachings. You got to remain faithful to my teachings. When you talk about you remain faithful, there's a translation there that goes like this. It's if you continue. And a lot of times we don't continue. We live on the teachings that we've heard and learned, but we don't continue. Because the scripture there is really saying to continue is what it translates. You got to continue. Why we have Wednesday night journey night and classes and all the what we do. That's why we're hitting record attendance on Wednesday night. Because people are coming in to be made disciples of Jesus. They're not going to live on what they learned last week. They're not going to live on what they learned a month or a year ago. If you are living on that, you're not doing what the scripture says. You want to be made to be like Christ. You want to be taught and learn. And there's always something new to learn. And Jesus wants us to be disciples. He wants you to learn to be like him. Not just follow what he's telling us. Right? And that phrase there, you remain faithful. See, being committed to following the teachings, that's doing what it says. Learning to be like the teacher. We want to be like the teacher. Right? We want to be like the teacher. Here's a thought for you. You can still follow a teaching, but question the teacher. You can do that. People do that all the time. They follow the professor, but question the person. Right, Malone? Happens all the time. Right? Right? They say this, and they just kind of wonder about the person themselves. Ever hear this phrase? Do you really believe that? You know, when I'm witnessing to somebody trying to tell them about Jesus, they look at you sometimes and they say, you really believe that? Yeah. Why? Because God has taught me to be a disciple. But you can follow somebody's teaching, but you can also question the teacher. A disciple that has learned to be like Jesus is less likely to chase after conveniences. The more you are made into a disciple of Jesus, the less likely you're going to want to chase after some convenience. It's when we stop being made more like Jesus, learning to be like Jesus, that this convenience thing shows up. Right? So you're asking the question right now, I can see in your faces, what's commitment then, Pat? What's commitment mean? If you ask the dictionary, it means you have an obligation. Right? The dictionary would tell you, you know, commitment's an obligation. It's just an obligation. You've made a commitment. I have a responsibility, right? But in the Bible, it mostly talks about turning something over, giving up. I'm going to commit. I'm going to turn my life over to Jesus. I'm going to give of myself and commit. I'm going to give myself away. So the question is then, what commitments are needed to be a disciple of Christ? What commitments do I have to do, Pastor? Hold on. Luke 14:25, a large crowd was following Jesus, right? So there's this crowd, and Jesus starts getting really popular. Why? He's a really good speaker and a really good teacher. He also is doing some crazy stuff, like healing people. Right? Right? He's doing some crazy stuff. He's feeding 5,000 people with a couple fish, a few loaves of bread. He's doing stuff like this. And it attracts attention. And so crowds start to build, right? Why? They start to follow to see what's going on. Now, I know we never do anything like that. There'll be no crowd watching the crazy football game tonight, right? Nobody will show up. If I see more and more picture of Taylor Swift, if I see it tonight, I tell you what, we might have to shut it off, right? I don't know about you folks. You know, my Cowboys are gone out of the, you know, and I could really care less about who wins tonight. But I do care if I see that girl on that TV, right? Oh, it's so fun, right? Large crowds following Jesus. He's popular. He's speaking. He's preaching. He's healing. He's feeding. Things are going on and people show up. Crowds follow Jesus because there was no indication. All those crowds, there is no indication that they would commit to Jesus beyond the current situation. So here we got all these people following Jesus, right? But there is no commitment on most of them. They're watching what he does. They're listening to what he says. But there's no commitment there. There's just, they're following, right? They're physically following Jesus. And the crowds are getting bigger. But there's no commitment of these individuals that lasted any longer than the current situation. See, I think that speaks to me. Because I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be involved in following Jesus for the current situation. Because that means I'm following Jesus because he's going to give me something. Food. A healing, a situation. You know, the commitment shows up when I'm following Jesus and he's not there giving me anything at that time. He's not healing me of some situation. I'm not getting the extra loaves and fishes or whatever the situation. Then that commitment kind of becomes more pronounced in my life. Even those people that were not committed to Jesus, they were still a part of the crowd that followed him. Why? Again, they wanted to see a miracle. Maybe they wanted to get a handout of some sorts. Maybe they were hungry. Maybe they wanted to hear some wild story, because Jesus had some stories. But I noticed this, the following starts before the discipleship. I'm noticing that the following starts before the discipleship. See, it's like this. There's a clear distinction between the outer crowd that were fans of Jesus as opposed to the inner circle who were following Jesus, wanting to be his disciple. I got to get closer. And the closer I get to Jesus' inner circle to be a disciple, the more commitment he's going to ask of me. And the less conveniences I'm going to have. Why do I want to be a part of that crowd? Right? Why do I want to be a part of that crowd? Let me read you something, church. Jesus had what every preacher wants. A large crowd following them, waiting for every word that comes out of their mouth. Jesus had that. You would think that Jesus would tell the crowd that was following him what life would be like with him. Like, I'm going to give you good health. I'm going to give you comfort. I'm going to give you conveniences of life. You would think. Then the people would go home and tell their friends, tell their family, and they then would come back next Sunday to Cross Point Church. If you come back next Sunday, you're going to have health, and you're going to have all these things, and you're going to have the convenience of life. Just come back next Sunday. I know preachers like that. And they're called prosperity preachers today, right? Just follow me, and you're going to have the good stuff. Jesus didn't say that, right? Jesus wasn't talking about that. Jesus never said that. Instead, Jesus lays out the commitments needed to not only be a follower, but to be a true disciple and not just a fan in the crowd. And I don't think it was super received. I don't think, but he was telling you the keys to the kingdom. And a lot of preachers don't tell you that, except for this one today. I'm going to tell you that because I think it's more important that we understand the commitments that Jesus is talking about so we understand how to navigate life as opposed to navigating the conveniences of this world. And everything in the Old Testament faces these commitments, and Jesus talks about what you got to do. Here's the commitments you got to be a follower and a disciple of Jesus Christ. And he's got all these crowds, and he would turn, and the scripture says he turned, and he would talk to some of them, and he would tell them, this is what you got to do. And I've got to understand that when he started looking at some of them and saying, this is what you got to do to be a disciple, I know that some of them said, wow, I thought I was going to get a new car. I thought I was getting a new house. I thought my dog was going to be better looking, whatever, right? And he didn't even say those things. I don't even have a dog. But I'm going to tell you those six commitments today, church. And I believe that these six commitments will change your life. The commitments that Jesus was talking about is in Luke 14, 25 through 35. And I'm going to break that down for you this morning. And you're going to say, oh, I could do that. And you'll get to one and you'll say, oh, I don't know about that. What? He wants me to do this? The six commitments over convenience that Jesus talks about. Commitment number one, a person who makes a true commitment elevates their faith above their family. They elevate their faith above their family. Luke 14, 26. If anyone, stop. It doesn't say if a pastor or the board of a church or the leadership of the church. It says if anyone. That means it's for everybody today. If anybody does this, comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brother and sister, and yes, even their own life, that person can't be my disciple. What? What? Pastor, I can't do that. Why? Because you have committed to your mom and your dad and your kids and all these. You've committed your life. See, Jesus uses this word hate in this version, and I'm going to get to another version here in a second. But he uses the word hate. That's not the emotional hate that we know today. See, Jesus was really a master teacher about using metaphors, as you probably know. And he really wants to get people's attention on this commitment. So he throws out the word hate in another version. We'll use another one. And he's trying to get your attention, to get you to understand something. And I'm going to unpack it for you here in a second. He uses these metaphors, but he's not talking about the word hate as an emotion. He's using the word hate, as the Bible talks about, as a priority order. It's a priority order he's talking about. You've got to put your priorities in line and hate that they're not in line. You've got to do it this way. In fact, he's talking specifically about elevating faith in your life. You want to be a disciple, here's what you got to do. You got to commit to changing the priorities of your life and elevating your faith. Luke 14, 26 on the Living Bible says it like this. If anyone wants to be my follower, the commitment's coming, church, watch, right, okay? Here comes the commitment. You must love me more than you do your own mother, father, wife, children, brother, sister. Now you understand? You just got to love me more. But he got your attention when he said, you got to hate them. But he's saying, you got to put me higher than them in the pecking order. You got to commit that I am more important to you as your Savior and Messiah. They didn't realize that at the time, of course. Some did. Than you do your children and your family. Yes, more than your own life. Otherwise, he cannot be my disciple. Look at the beginning. Anyone who wants to follow, be a follower. Okay, here comes a commitment. If you want to be my follower, to follow my teachings, I'm going to lay down a commitment. I'm going to give you some commitments, and here they are. You got to love me more than your own wife and father, mother, children, brother and sisters, and yourself. There's the commitments. Otherwise, you just can't be my disciple. Disciple, learning to be like Jesus. Wow. 5,000 people hanging around this crowd. How many took off? What? I can't do that. I'm out of here. The same thing that happens today. The same thing that happens today. What? Pastor, I can't do that. I'm not asking you to hate anybody. I'm just saying Jesus is more important. Right? Jesus is just more important. We want to be like Christ. Commitment number two, a person who makes a true commitment models sacrifice over being self-centered or self-centeredness. They model sacrifice. You can log on and get my notes if you need to after service. Commitment number two, a person who makes a true commitment models sacrifice. Luke 14, 26 again. Let's go. If anyone comes to me and does not hate, yes, even their own life. Commitment number two, you got to hate your own life. Wow. Now I got to hate my whole family. Now I got to hate me. No, you just got to change your priorities. Jesus is more important than me. Jesus is more important than my wife. Jesus is more important than my kids. He's more important than my brothers and sisters and friends and family. Church, get ready for this one. He's more important than you. Jesus is that important. And some of us won't realize how important Jesus is until we slip to the other side. And you're looking at him face to face and you're saying, oh my goodness, there's what that preacher talked about on that day back in that church in Canton. There he is. And he'll look at you, but he'll say these words. Are you my disciple? Are you like me? Did you learn? Did you listen to that pastor? That day? Are you like me? And then what did you do? What's your relationship with me? And then the big question is, do I even know you? Now I'm going to look at him and I'm going to say, yeah, I know you. And I know you because I am your disciple. I know you. I'm your disciple. And I followed hard after you to be a better disciple. I made a commitment to model a sacrifice of my own self. Yep. If anyone comes to me and does not hate, yes, even their own life. Yes, even their own life. That means you're making a clear distinction between you and Jesus, or what you want for your life, or what he desires for you to fulfill in your life. Is really exactly what that means. What I want or what he wants through me. We're so caught up on the conveniences of life that we don't get to see the commitment that he wants to work through you and what he wants to do for you, because we're chasing after the conveniences of life. And I'm just here to tell you today, if you can make this transition in your life, if not already, your life changes dramatically. Yes, even your own life. Some choose to remain in the crowd because we fear the closer we get to that inner circle, the more commitment we're going to be asked to do. And it's true. Luke 14, 33 in the NIV reads like this. Those of you who do not give up everything, you can't be my disciple. He starts talking about give up. What's he talking about give up? He's talking about giving up the conveniences of life. You got to sacrifice some things, folks. Because the stuff on the other side is a whole lot better than the stuff you got here, but we don't get to the other side because we don't want to do the commitment in the middle. And once we do the commitment in the middle, Jesus says, okay, now you're getting it. Now you're going to be more like me. And that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to give up those desires that we have in our heart, not because they're bad. We just want he wants us to prioritize them first on his side before we put us in front of him. He doesn't want that. He wants to say, you do what I need you to do first. What would have happened if God would have called my wife and I back home to a church back home? It was 40 minutes south of where we were living, so that's close enough, right? We just would have had to repack the boxes. And it would have been really inconvenient. Sell the house and all that. But we were willing to do that because we weren't interviewed. We were willing to do it. It was super inconvenient, but I think God just wanted to see if we would be willing to do it. Yeah. And we did it. And God says, okay, I see your commitment. I see you're willing to prioritize my will for you over you. Commitments, right? Commitment number three says a person who makes a true commitment prepares for a life of challenges over a life of convenience. Pastor, I don't want to be challenged. I don't want to be challenged. You come next week and you'll say, yes, I do. Because next week we're going to talk about challenges over convenience. But a person who makes a true commitment prepares for a life of challenge over of a life of convenience. You don't even have any idea what that challenge means. You just hear this challenge, I got to do something, right? That's kind of how we're programmed. Luke 14, 27, and whoever does not carry their cross and follow me, they can't be my disciple. See, back then it was really common to see people carrying these crosses, these thieves carrying these crosses. It wasn't abnormal to see that. It's kind of how they did it. But they knew that the end result of carrying the cross was death. Jesus is saying, listen, I just want you to carry your cross and follow me to life, not death. It might be a little inconvenient as you're carrying the cross, but let me tell you something. You make the commitment to carry your cross, and you're going to get to a place that you're going to say, I am sure glad I'm here. I'm sure glad I'm here, right? I'll commit. Lord, what do I got to do? If we're not committed to accept some adversity in our lives, we're not fit to be called a disciple. Why? Because Jesus put up with a whole lot of inconvenience for you and I. We very well may have to sacrifice some pleasures and prosperity in this world to receive the reward of the next one. Commitment number four, a person who makes a true commitment elevates relationship over religion. Luke 14, 27, and whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. We're using some of the same scriptures twice, right? In the current culture, if a rabbi asked someone to follow them, they're asking them to follow their teaching. But then they ask them to learn who I am as a person, to build a relationship with me. They're asking you to be their disciple. Jesus is no different. He's going to take it to a higher level. I want you to follow my teachings. I want you to be like me. But you can't be my disciple if you're not going to know who I am. And to know who I am, you have to have a relationship with them. What? I got to hang out with this guy? Yeah, right? You got to go to prayer. We got a great prayer ministry at this church. If you haven't heard, I'd expect there to be 200 people in prayer on Wednesday morning. Robin, get ready. You got to change the room, right? Here's what religion says. Religion says, I'm going to attend, I'm going to give, I'm going to shout, and I'm going to serve. That's religion. Relationship says, I'm going to seek, follow, learn, study, grow, obey, and trust. It changes things. I'm going to commit to a relationship. And Jesus says, you want to commit to me. You want to commit to me. Many of you in the house today and watching online says, Pastor, I have done that. I am so happy I've done that. I have been transformed. My life has changed because I have a day-to-day relationship with Jesus. It's different. Commitment number five says, a person who makes a true commitment values the conviction of the commitment over life conveniences. Okay? A person who makes a true commitment values the conviction of your commitment over life conveniences. Here's kind of where the rubber meets the road, church. Chasing some conveniences or chasing a committed conviction? Are you chasing conveniences or are you chasing a conviction for a commitment to Jesus Christ? And you'll get the devil to pull you to the convenience side and Jesus will say, no, come to this side, and you'll feel like you're right in the middle sometimes. It's really hard to lead a person to Jesus when they have all the life conveniences. I've had people say to me, why do I need Jesus? I got people on my baseball team. I know you're probably watching, right? And you probably know who you are if you're watching, right? What do I need Jesus for? I have everything I need. They've chased convenience their whole life. And they don't think there's anything else to get. Right? A person who makes a true commitment values the conviction of the commitment over life's conveniences. Luke 14:28. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. We've used this before, but listen to this connotation. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? Jesus is given another one of these, right? They're talking. And it uses the phrase, estimate the cost. That's meaning, consider what your commitment's going to take. What is your commitment to Jesus going to cost you? People do this all the time. If I follow Jesus, I guess I have to give up all this stuff. I can't drink anymore. I can't smoke, whatever. You know, they put whatever the things they have in their life, and they say, I can't do those anymore. And they start to do the estimating of the cost. And they have to decide. If Jesus showed that person 5 seconds of heaven, they would make a quicker decision. But he wants some faith. He wants some commitment on our part, right? He wants us to estimate the cost. And then he says, enough money to complete it. Do you have enough conviction to be committed? Is there enough conviction in your life to be committed? I say this frequently. I'm just so impressed with our Malone College students. They don't have to come to church here. They don't have to come to church here. You don't have to come to church here, right? Young people going to church, it's powerful. They still have to go to church on Wednesday mornings. I'm sure they're still doing that. Chapel, right? You still have to go to chapel on Wednesday mornings? Yep. You got to go. You don't got to go here. They just want to come here. Why? They want to make a commitment. Do we have enough money to complete that commitment? Do you have enough conviction in your heart to be committed to Jesus? Commitment number six, a person who makes a true commitment is more useful to God than useless. Watch what happens. Luke 14:34. Most of you know this scripture. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? You know, back in biblical times, they used salt to preserve food and to season it. And everybody pretty much understands that, kind of like what we do today, right? But here's something that I'm not sure we see. The salt is really used as a change agent to the food. It's a change agent to the food. It makes it different. It preserves it longer. It seasons it to taste better. So really, I look at it, salt is just a change agent of food. It really is. So this scripture really kind of stuck out, you know, jumped out at me. But if that salt becomes contaminated, it's useless. It's not changing anything. You know, if salt really could speak to itself and say, I don't want to be salty anymore, it's useless. Nobody's going to use it. Right? Here's the thought for you. We are supposed to be like salt that changes the environment around us. Then we are useful. However, if the current environment changes us, we become useless. Chasing after conveniences makes us useless. So the question I have as we wrap things up is, are you willing to live committed over convenience? I just laid out the commitments. There's tons of stories in God's word about commitments, but Jesus boils it right down to, here's what I'm asking you to do. I want to be your number one. And everything in your life will flow out of that as you live on planet Earth. But that's going to take you making a commitment to be my disciple. I know lots of followers. I want a disciple. I want to be a disciple. Right? Are we willing to live committed? And I know what you're thinking right now, church. I know what you're thinking. Pastor, if I do all this, what's my reward? What do I get out of it? What do I get? Those who have made this commitment before know exactly what that is. But if you're sitting here today or watching online and you don't understand that, you're asking that question. And you know something? It's the same question I asked. What do I get? And I was 9, so I wanted a lot. My expectation was pretty high. All right, I'll do this thing. I'll go down there. I'll commit my life to Jesus. What am I going to get? I know they're telling me I'll escape hell, but what am I going to get out of the deal, right? Your commitment gets to Jesus. He's only the creator of the heavens and the earth. He's only the Son of the living God. It's a pretty good deal. And all you got to do is make a commitment. Your commitment gets you Jesus. Day in and day out, live by relationship, live over convenience. You know, the funny part about this whole thing is so many people told me once they made a commitment to Jesus, life got easier. Really? It got more convenient. Yeah. Why? Because you've got the creator of the heavens and the earth on your side now. And you can do anything with that kind of commitment. Church, there's no commitment you'll make in your life that will give you the creator of the heavens and the earth on your side other than this one. Now that is a reward. And those of you who are sitting in the worship center today and watching online who have made a commitment to Jesus Christ, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know exactly what I'm, but there's people that don't have any clue what we're saying today. Your commitment gets you Jesus. Revelation 22:12. Look, I'm coming back soon, church. Get ready. My reward is with me. I'm going to give to each person according to what they have done. What does that mean? To their commitments. What they committed to is exactly what that scripture means. It means if you committed to me and my kingdom, I'm coming with a reward. And you're going to get it. And I'm going to be the first one to give it to you. But if you live for hell and the devil, I'm coming for that too. And I'm going to give you something for that as well. You're going to be separated from me. You're not going to have anything to do with me any because you made your choice. To live chasing a convenience. And I'm here to tell you this morning, church, I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to be lost like that. I want you to chase after heaven and make a commitment to the Lord Savior Jesus Christ. that changes my life and all lives. So before I go any further, I'm going to ask you to bow your hearts. Because there's somebody here that needs to make a commitment. They need to make a commitment to follow Jesus. It'll be the best commitment you have ever made in your entire life. And I want to pray with you. I'm not going to call you down front this morning. In a minute here, I'll ask you to raise your hand, but I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to ask you to come down front. No one's looking around. Everyone's bowed down with their eyes closed. But you know, if you're sitting here today or you're watching online, you've never made that first-time commitment for Jesus Christ, or maybe you just want to do it again because you need to do it again and recommit, I'm here to pray with you today. So I'm going to ask you today, if that is you, slip up your hand. If you're in the worship center today, thank you. I see that hand. Anybody else? I see that hand. Is there anybody else? I see that hand. Anybody else? I see your hand. Once you put your hand up, you can put it down. Anybody else? One last chance. Anybody else? Church, let's do this together. I'm going to say a prayer. I'm going to ask the church to say it alongside with me and just repeat. So just follow along. Dear Lord Jesus, I am so sorry. I have not been as committed as I should be. But today, Lord God, I am coming to you and asking you to forgive me, redeem me, and save me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Somebody give them praise today. There are people in the kingdom today because they're made a commitment for Jesus. Church, stand with me, because I don't know about you, but I feel like I got to rejoice because we have just made a commitment for the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's no bigger and better commitment than saying, I'm going to live committed over conveniences. God bless you. Let's rejoice as we go out. Hallelujah.
I will rejoice. I will rejoice.